fears. And easier said than done, right? It's human nature to hide from our fears. I mean, going back to the garden and when sin was committed, it wasn't just that they disobeyed, but what followed from that and how it changed the human psyche. We became very shame-based and wanting to hide from ourselves. They realized they were naked, they covered themselves. And of course, all of that has been changed in what Christ has provided, but that has to be our experience. And until we experience what Christ has done for us, we're still affected. Our human nature still is affected by the first Adam. So facing our fears is not a natural thing to do. Our natural tendency is we're ashamed of what we're afraid of. We want to hide it. Now, people become religious, and I tell you, the religious spirit isn't much help either, because you can bury yourself in doctrine and teaching and trying to present a certain image to people. But often, people that are religious are running the hardest away from their fears. The answer is in our spirit. I think it's very much a spiritual struggle that we find ourselves in, with the basic human nature and the fears and God's perfect love, that divine part that's within us, working to cast out the fears. We start off by facing our fears, and I think it's a matter of letting the Holy Spirit lead us. Can I turn this off? This is kind of...
No, you can't.
Yeah. I just did. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble now. If you hear that tape click off, that means I went too far with this. All right. In facing our fears, if we really are able to tune in to the Holy Spirit leading us to face them, it's not just a journey we make on our own, but it's a response to what God's doing within us. You start off by facing what you fear, you end up facing the Lord, if God's doing the leading. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? The fiery furnace cast in there because they refused to worship anyone but God. Well, that's a very fearful situation. That would certainly arouse certain human fears, knowing that death could be imminent. And they didn't say God's going to save us. They said whether he saves us or not, all we know is we're not bowing down to the idol. They knew where their heart was right before God. But here they are facing this fire that's set to devour them. You can imagine the human thinking, the human emotions saying, you can't live in a fiery furnace, not for very long. Yet as they faced it, and they didn't back down, the fourth person that was there with them, the Lord. That's how it works. If God can get us to follow his word and spirit and face what we fear, you sit there and you look at him, you face him with faith and the word of God, and soon you see the face of Jesus Christ staring back at you. It leads to spiritual breakthrough and spiritual revelation. Fear has its own mindset. We want to talk about fear for a moment, because our fears is not just things we tuck away somewhere and they don't cause problems. With all the fears that are in our nature, fear creates a certain way of thinking, a certain perspective. Now, if the fear is extreme enough, you know, if someone, let's look at anxiety for a minute. If a person is very anxious and it goes extreme enough where it's panic attacks, the thoughts that come with that is a person feels they're going to die. Now, those thoughts are not reality, but the fear and that extreme anxiety generates a mindset, and the person that's experiencing that is convinced that they're going to die. So our fears have thoughts with them. Often those thoughts do not match reality, and more important to this word, those thoughts that are born out of fear do not match God's reality or his realm or his word. So unless we allow the Spirit to lead us to face our fears, we are being dominated by a lot of thinking that isn't God and don't recognize it. Fear has its own perspective, but it's not God's perspective. So how do we get the mind of Christ in God's perspective? At some point, we've got to face those fears. Now, some examples of this. Look at the Pharisees and how they resisted Jesus. He was such a threat to them. They were afraid of him. But look at the fears that they lived with. They had this image of God based on the law. And Jesus was a threat to that, because the Son of God did not come forth and conform to that image. So their fears generated a certain thinking that Jesus Christ was their threat. Here he was the fulfillment of the law, the very thing they read and taught. Yet because of fear, they thought about him incorrectly. They feared losing their own place, their own kingdom, didn't they? Their ego was wrapped up in this. But I want you to see, we often look at the Pharisees and say, what a bunch of jerks they were. They were consumed with fear, so they couldn't see the truth. They had a certain mindset that they had had for a long time and thought this must be God, but it wasn't. Again, we have to face what we fear for our thinking to change so we can have God's thoughts. Israel, when they went in the promised land, you remember when they saw the giants, the response of all but the few that had the right spirit? They said, we were like grasshoppers in their sight and also grasshoppers in our own sight. I mean, I may get that mixed up a little bit. They looked at the giants and they saw themselves as nothing and insignificant. Now, you got to understand something. Here's a people that had been exposed to God's power throughout this journey. Miraculous feeding, being taken care of, provision. They saw the power of God imparting the Red Sea, judging their enemy and providing access for them to move to the promised land. But you see, God's mindset wasn't their own. That's that fear base. They looked at the giants, they were afraid, and then out of that fear, they thought incorrectly about themselves. We are grasshoppers. And Joshua and Caleb go, no, we're not grasshoppers. We belong to God. We're his inheritance. That land is ours. But fear will produce thinking that's contrary to how God sees things. David and Goliath, a nation, Israel, paralyzed with fear. They're fighting the Philistines. Goliath, again, is a giant. They are afraid, and because they're afraid, they're thinking incorrectly about that battle. David has God's heart, God's mind. He comes up and says, I'm not afraid of this giant. Who is this man that taunts the armies of the living God? What did David see? That God was with them. They were God's people. So he wasn't under that fear, and he could think correctly. And so he looked physically. He saw the same thing they all saw. Goliath was, I don't know, how big was he?
9 feet.
9 feet. But he had God's thoughts, and he realized that God was giving them the victory, so he wasn't afraid. One last example, Elijah. Stands on Mount Carmel. God performs a great miracle. Prophets of Baal are slain. God shows up, and a nation is convinced and turns from idol worship to proclaiming who the true God is. Jezebel makes him afraid, and he runs. Now, what happens? He became afraid, and then his thinking got off, didn't it? He goes off saying, I just want to die. Here's this mighty prophet that God used. He saw God change the heart and mind of an entire nation by one miracle. Yet because he's afraid, he's saying, God, my life isn't worth anything, and I'm alone here. He wasn't. God later told him there's 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. In that state of fear, he thought differently. He thought incorrectly. And he forgot who he was in God and what God had just done. So I'm just saying, you agree with me? It's important that we face our fears and let the love of God cast them out so we can think the way God thinks. There's a lot of fear with regards to church and how churches work. And I want to talk about this for a minute. From the perspective of leadership, there's a lot of fear. Churches have become like giant babysitters instead of agents of change for people. Trying to get people in, collecting people, and got to keep them in. You don't go somewhere else. You got to stay behind these walls. Something might happen to you. Treating people like babies, putting up big fences. That's what you do with a little baby. Because a baby, you're afraid if they get out, they're going to hurt themselves. So you have people spending their whole life under some legalistic system that's like a playpen. Because there's not faith in that God can meet people and cause them to grow. So you get tight control in churches. Why is that? What's that all about? Fear. If we don't control it, something might happen to the people. Yeah, they might meet God and walk, you know, grow. That's what happens to people. But see, it's when it's fear-based, we think incorrectly about what church is meant to be. What should church be? It's not a matter of collecting people. It's a place to energize people to know the Lord. Place for people to experience freedom and know who they are. But if the fear is there, that's not what happens. How about growing in truth, new truth? There's a lot of fear with church with regards to that. Oh, you got to watch out for false doctrine. Now, my feeling about false doctrine is I don't want any of it. But you know, there's a price you pay if you're so afraid of anything new because it might be wrong. You're going to make less mistakes, nothing ventured, nothing gained. But how are you going to grow? How are you going to be exposed to greater things of the Lord if your awareness is, I'm afraid of anything new, it might be wrong? I've always encouraged you a different way, haven't I? I'm very concerned about the truth. The truth will set you free. I want to think correctly. It's not like I don't care about what people are exposed to, but am I relating to you in fear that, watch out, don't go anywhere else, you got to stay right here? Do I believe the Holy Spirit's in you? And like it says in the book of 1 John, isn't it? You have an anointing within you that will lead you, teach you. Do I believe that you're able to discern because of the Spirit of God within you? Also, I think it's important to expose yourself to new ideas because we learn a thing, we learn about differences. We learn that different people think differently. God is able to, I think, change a lot of our prejudices and limited thinking if we're open that way. Another important thing with new truth is it breaks up that self-righteous stance that we so easily can get into. This is what I know. This is what God is speaking. Nothing more. Wisdom dies here. Well, something dies here when you have that attitude. It's not wisdom. People die. If you're open to the Spirit teaching you, instead of being self-righteous, you become humbled by what you learn from others and how the truth expands. Okay, what I'm getting at here is it's better to be in an open mode and believe for God to lead you and make a few more mistakes and grow than it is to be huddled behind walls in fear saying, I don't want to make a mistake and I'm just going to hang on to what I have. The church shouldn't be just hanging on. The church should be exploding. As in the book of Acts, the church, now defining a church here is not an organization, but the ecclesia, the called out ones. The book of Acts, it was about people moving forward in God, not holding back in fear that something might go wrong. So again, that struggle we are in is, are we going to be fear-based and have the wrong way of thinking, though it may be religious, or are we going to have that base and the roots in God's love? And by his love, be empowered with boldness to move forward, growing into new things and being God's instrument in the earth. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. Verse 18, one verse only. Here's the process. There is no fear in love. Okay, who is love?
God is love.
If you don't know that one, you got to go up a few verses. God is love. There is no fear in God. There is no fear in love. But perfect love, what? Cast out fear. Okay, there's a process here, and it sounds like it's got a lot of energy to it. That's what we're involved in, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. So how are we perfected in God's love? Isn't that the goal we're after? We let the Spirit cause us to face our fears and cast out our fears. In a sense, the only fear we want is the fear of the Lord. But all the fears that would be imprison us and hold us back and be a restraint, God's Spirit is in our life to break the walls down and to cast them out. I wonder how much of our prayer, how much of our repentance expresses true love and faith in God, and how often it's just an expression of our fear and anxiety. Have you ever thought about that? I'm not discouraging anyone from praying. I'm just saying I think sometimes We become afraid and we're tormented. People feel guilty. Well, I should pray. I've got to pray. I've got to do this. What's driving our prayer life? What's driving the reason we read the word or wait on the Lord? Or repentance should never be a negative, heavy thing. Repentance is an awakening to what's true and a turning of our heart and mind in another direction. But I think often believers get mired in shame and condemnation, and they call it repentance and prayer. And all they're doing is just voicing their fears and anxiety. God is love. He is in us, and that love wants to cast out all the fear so that our prayer life, everything that flows from us, is based on faith, and it's living. It imparts life to others. I think as we look at this process, we come to realize what we face, God will fight for us. It's important to realize. People say, well, I want to get rid of my fears. Can you do it when we sleep? That would be a good idea. That's my idea. Painless as possible. And while we're sleeping, God, just to take out the fears? No. It's when we're wide awake. But you look through the Old Testament, the battles the Israelites went through. Remember when they'd send the worshipers out and face these enemies? And, of course, God would win a great victory. You notice it's like they had to face the enemy. They just didn't have to fight. When we face our fears, God fights for us. His Spirit casts out the fear. His Spirit accomplishes the victory. But we still have to face it, don't we? You hear a lot about the term denial, running away from things. It's a psychological term, but I think it's a spiritual illness too. People running away from God's presence, hiding behind their doctrine, their teaching, their ministry, their church, whatever. What we face when we can face our fears, the Spirit of God fights for us. In 2 Kings chapter 7, don't have to turn there, you can read about this later. It's when Samaria was besieged by the Syrians, you remember, and the enemy had cut Israel off, and they were basically starving to death. In fact, it's really tragic because they were eating their children. They had nothing to eat. And the king was just beside himself because they were afraid to go out of the walls of the city because the enemy would kill them. Elisha stands and prophesies, and basically what he says is, by this time tomorrow, it's going to be a different picture. And one guy says, how can this be? If the windows of heaven are open, how did he say it? He doubted the word of the prophet. And yeah, bad timing. And Elisha said, well, it's going to happen, but you're not going to see it. And that person, actually, when it did happen, and the people, this guy was by the gate of the city, the people trampled him to death getting outside of the city walls. Yeah. Well, what happened here was, and let me just give you a little background, then we'll go into the meaning of it for us, is the enemy, the Lord had sent that night, like the enemy, the Syrians thought there was armies around them, or maybe I should turn to the exact verse. Yeah, they thought that the other nations had joined with Israel to fight them. And that hadn't happened, but God caused the enemy to scatter. And they left everything behind. And you have these lepers in the city that say, well, the word of the prophet, you know, tomorrow it's going to be different. Here we are, we're starving to death. Why don't we go out there? Maybe the enemy won't kill us. They didn't know the enemy was going to be there, but they thought, well, maybe they'll save us alive. If they kill us, we're going to die here anyway. They venture out, and the camp of the enemy is deserted, and there's all this food and all these riches. Well, you know the story. The next day, they come back and tell people, and the king is going, well, I don't know. That could just be a trick. Maybe they're just hiding, and once we come out, they're going to kill us. But eventually, they were convinced that what God had said is true, and they went out, and they obviously the famine ended. They had all this loot, all the things the enemy left behind. I think it's a story of how we deal with our fear. We build up these walls to protect ourselves, and we say, the reason I'm staying behind these walls is the enemy out there is going to hurt me. And the walls are good for protection, but they also many times starve us, don't they, spiritually? Because we got to get out there to eat. So that's the dilemma. Fear is telling you, stay back, you don't want to be hurt. And God is saying, okay, maybe you won't be hurt, but you're not going to grow very much either. Yeah, you die. Then we have to listen to when God speaks. The key was not simply the Israelites bolting out and saying, let's go see if the enemy's still there. The key was the prophet of God spoke and said, this is what God's going to do. When we hear his voice will challenge our fears. His voice will challenge our sense of security, our comfort zone. And there's a point where we have to say, God, because you've spoken it, am I going to believe in what you said and venture outside these walls, my fears? And when we do, what do we find? The famine ends. We're able to eat. We realize the enemy has been defeated. I think this is really where Christianity is at right now. Jesus Christ has defeated the enemy on the cross. We have all we need inside. But fear is blocking that awareness. The presence of fear keeps us from being present with the Lord. So what's going to happen? There's got to be a point where the word of Christ, that living word, his voice, leads us outside the fear, where perfect love can cast out fear. And once we get outside, we realize, hey, you're right, God, there is no enemy here. It was taken care of at the cross. But how will we ever know unless we venture outside the walls? Is that what the Spirit is speaking? Is he bidding us to come outside the walls of our fears? Where he can show us the great victory he's won for us? Where he can reveal the provision he has for us? I think so. This is an expression in psychology. It says, the irony is this, if you don't go in, you can't find out. You ever heard that? Encouraging people, if you don't look inside, you can't find out what's really going on. Well, I want to change that a little bit. When this word of God comes, going in means facing our fears where his love can be effective. Then we find out who the Lord is by revelation. We find out what he's won for us. We find out who we are in him. One last verse in closing. Please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 35. Oh, here it is. I love this. It's a beautiful verse, Isaiah 35, verse 7. And the scorched land will become a pool, and the thirsty grounds springs of water. That's a promise we claim, don't we? Fear causes a lot of scorching, a lot of dryness. But the promise of God is the very areas that have been the driest for you will become pools of the Spirit because of what God is doing by his grace. Thirsty grounds, springs of water. Now, verse 7 says the scorched land. Another translation of my Bible is mirage. And the mirage will become a pool. That's what our fears do. They create this mirage. You look out and say, it sure seems real, but it's not real. And the process of the Spirit is to destroy that mirage and what you really experience, as it says, pools of living water, his Spirit. We have a lot of mirages, don't we? Things we think we see but aren't really there. And only God can change that to where we see the reality of who he is and what he's done for us. Pools of living water. That's our inheritance. Amen. Rivers of living water to flow from within us. Amen. Lord, we welcome the working of your Spirit, the power of your love in our lives. Help us to face the fear that is our true enemy. Not the externals. It's that internal fear that holds us back from knowing you. As we face the fear, Lord, we know your word is true. Your love cast it out. We're being set free. We say yes and amen to this working within us, Lord. Amen. Good. We do a